SCP-835 Uncensored. Notice from the Foundation Records and Information Security Administration. This document requires Level 4 clearance and authorization for Need to Know under code Trishan Victor Blue. If you do not possess the necessary security clearances, please close this document immediately and report the security breach to the Records and Information Security Administration. Thank you. Maria Jones, Director, RAISA. Item number, SCP-835. Object class, Keter. Special containment procedures. SCP-835 is to be monitored and checked daily for new growth. In the event SCP-835 becomes hostile, Suppression Tactic A-A6 is to be immediately implemented until aggressive actions cease. Containment area must be maintained in open ocean due to the highly aggressive response from SCP-835 to confinement for any length of time. Waste issued by SCP-835 must be immediately collected and contained. Feeding of SCP-835 is to take place twice daily, to consist of any form of local aquatic species. Feedings should be supervised at all times, and no unscheduled feedings of SCP-835 are to take place for any reason. Should SCP-835 enter a rage state, higher-level mammals may be issued as a food supply, up to and including Homo sapiens. SCP-835 has shown high levels of docility when digesting higher-level mammalian life, and recommendations for issuing of this form of food has been approved for use during testing phases. SCP-835 may be moved to a new location twice yearly, provided that the current location is no longer capable of supporting SCP-835, and the move has been approved by the site command. Staff are to remain at least 5 yards away from SCP-835. Anyone working near SCP-835 must have safety lines attached to recall winches. Contact with SCP-835 will result in the immediate recall of all staff and implementation of Suppression Tactic A-A6. Should contact result in full capture of a staff member, SCP-835 is to be monitored constantly until the release of the subject. Description. SCP-835 appears to be a large mass of coral-like polyps, weighing several thousand tons. The individual polyps are larger than any known coral species, growing to more than 1 meter in diameter in some cases. The central mass is roughly oval-shaped, with a very large 3-meter in diameter polyp at each end. SCP-835 is incapable of locomotion and appears to anchor itself with its large tentacles projected from the SCP-835 polyps. These are also used in feeding and are coated with a sticky adhesive substance. The tentacles are also quite long and have been shown to be capable of damaging plate steel. The coral of SCP-835 is extremely hard, requiring high-powered diamond drills to collect even small samples. SCP-835 also grows at a very accelerated rate, capable of adding 500 pounds of mass every day. SCP-835 is susceptible to many chemicals, which cause SCP-835 to seal up and halt growth for 24 hours, prompting the development and use of suppression tactic A-A6. Testing has shown that SCP-835 appears to be made from basic human biological components, with the shell being from super-dense calcium, the caps that cover the polyps coated with tooth enamel, and the tentacles appearing to be formed from mutated tongue cells. Most human biological systems are present, however many, neurological, lymphatic, circulatory, etc., show extreme mutation and atrophy. The digestive and reproductive system appear both highly developed and linked, with both feces and semen being collected and ejected from the same chamber. SCP-835 emits a large mass of semi-liquid material several times a day from the large polyps on each end. This appears to be made of semi-digested solids, fecal material, and semen. This mass also has several forms of virus, bacteria, and parasites, many of which have been found only within SCP-835. The bacterium 835-I5 forms the major concern for containment, due to its role in the reproductive cycle of SCP-835. Vertebrate animals infected with SCP-835-I5 will undergo the following symptoms. Increased weight gain, 10 to 20 pounds a day on average. Constant hunger. Urge to consume normally unpleasant/unpalatable items, such as raw meat, organs, grass, wood. The hardening/calcification of the skin. Formation of polyps on the skin. Rapid reduction in intelligence and mobility. Increased aggression. Urge to enter seawater. Atrophy of major biological systems. End-stage infection appears to convert the subject into an additional instance of SCP-835. Attempts to determine what, if any, intelligence remains have been inconclusive. However, SCP-835 appears to have a limited amount of awareness. 835-I5 has shown a very high infectivity rate, with 68% of all infected subjects progressing to the end stage. There is no form of treatment or antibiotic that has been shown to halt or reverse the effects of 835-I5. This, coupled with the extremely hard shell of SCP-835, form a major obstacle to neutralization. Any force capable of cracking open SCP-835 would also cause the slurry inside to spread and cause additional infection from 835-I5. 835 After Action Report, Uncensored. Addendum 835-01. First Draft of After Action Report by Mobile Task Force ZN9er, Circumstances of Retrieval. On, at, hours, Mobile Task Force ZN9er, Mole Rats, conducted an investigation of SCP-835. At this time, SCP-835 had a mass of only 4 tons, and only one large polyp at the north end of the structure, designated polyp Alpha, polyp Bravo not yet being in existence. As per standard procedure, 4 team members were chosen for the initial investigation. Standard isolation suits, of the underwater variant, were worn by all 4 team members. Lieutenant C took point as team member, while Sergeants L and M served as support. Corporal H, a rookie team member, accompanied the team as an observer. A standard underwater remote vehicle, or URV, was used for the initial investigation. SCP-835 did not, at first, act in a hostile manner towards the team, allowing team members to approach and make contact without incident. URV-01 was sent to investigate the exterior of the object, while team members C, L, and M proceeded towards what they believed to be the entrance of the site. Corporal H was ordered to remain outside and monitor URV-1 in order to ensure that the device's tether did not become tangled on the exterior protrusions. The first sign of trouble occurred when Corporal H, while attempting to clear jam in URV-1's sampling claw, reported in the words, "Oh God, help me, help me." He then reported that some horrible tentacle thing had wrapped around his arm and was dragging him in towards a fucking mouth, and vocalized several distress calls. Jesus Christ, I can't do this. Fucking God damn it. He was just a kid. It was his first fucking mission. I should have kept my eye on him. Christ. All right. Here it goes. Guess I'll just let Sergeant edit this one for me. Again. So the thing grabbed the kid. It had me fooled. To all rights. The entrance wasn't an entrance. It was just some cave. The real entrance was that big pull-up thing on the north end. It grabbed the kid and then started dragging him towards the mouth. Topside started to drag him up, but all they got was a snapped cable, and the kid? He got pulled inside and eaten. Oh, God. I still remember him screaming. He was screaming at us, and he was crying. Oh, God, Lieutenant, it's eating me. Oh, God, I don't want to die. And I'm shouting at him to calm down and that we're going to get him out of there. And then Topside tells us to abort, and they start the winches, and I'm screaming at them to wait. I had his hand. I had him. I got the carabiner on, and then we were hooked together, and then Topside starts wenching us up, and we're just not getting anywhere. I'm grabbing on, and I'm telling him that I'm not gonna let go. And then the winch starts to seize up, and I feel this jerk on the tether, and then it goes slack. And then all of a sudden, we're both sliding into the damn thing. It was like, Jesus Christ, I need another drink. Fuck. It was like, God, the only way I can think of it was like, you know that thing that doctors do when they stick a tube up someone's ass and look at the inside of their intestines? I saw that on TV once. It was like that. Except I was going down the throat of some horrible underwater hell monster, not up some poor bastard's rear end. And there were these muscular contractions, I guess, and they were just slowly sliding us down the length of the tube. If we weren't wearing the hard suits, we would have been crushed. But as it was, we were held so tight together that we could barely move. Even with power assist, I managed to get my head up enough to see the kid's face, and his faceplate was absolutely covered in vomit. The poor bastard puked in his suit. I started yelling for him, trying to get him to say something, and eventually he managed to tell me that he was all right, and he was just sobbing like a baby. And I started doing some calculations. Based on my dead reckoning tracker and initial sonar scans, we were moving about a meter every minute. That means 72 hours until we would come out the other side, assuming we did it all. We had the air, our rebreathers could keep going for days. What we didn't have was the power to keep the suits warm for that long. If the heat went out, then hypothermia would kill us in, I don't know, look it up. In any case, we'd be dead. We needed to conserve power. I told the kid to turn off his helmet lights, lock his joints, and turn down his heater to minimal. He started crying. He didn't want to do it. I didn't blame him. I didn't want to do it either, but I told him that we had no choice. We finally agreed to shut down everything but our internal helmet lights, at least. That seemed to calm him down, and honestly, that extra 0.1% of power wouldn't make a difference. I think that was the worst part. We spent at least a day like that, locked in our suits. Couldn't move our arms or legs. No sound but the things gurgling and your own breathing and the sound of your rebreather. The puke on the kid's faceplate started to dry up and flake off about an hour or so in, so I could finally see his face. He looked so tired and scared. Check the logs, Sarge. I think it was about 13 hours in when the kid started talking again. The kid started babbling. Apologized for stealing my underwear. said you guys made him sneak into my quarters and take it from me as a dare. Why the hell did you make him do that? I mean, I don't mind if you haze the new guys, Bill, but that shit gets old. It's hard enough trying to get them to listen to me as it is. Anyway, Bill, it's all there in the log. You know what I told him. What I promised. All lies, of course. Jokes. He laughed, too. Joked back. God, I hope he was joking. I don't know what I would have done if we'd survived. Maybe I would have gone ahead and done it. I don't know. It's all fucked up. We're all fucked up. Anyway, after that, he calmed down a lot. I told him to take a nap, and he slept a bit, thank God. About 24 hours in, we reached, I guess they're calling it the stomach now. First warning sign was a gurgling kind of noise, louder with a crunching noise over it. I told the kid to bring his suit up to full power and get ready. A little while after that, we fell into this big chamber. Big as in big enough for the two of us to fit in it comfortably, which was huge compared to the tight squeeze of that tube. The kid's suit started hissing, and the outer shell started to turn all pitted and stuff, and I noticed that my gloves were starting to degrade too, so I yelled at him to move, and we started heading toward this sphincter, I guess. I remember. Oh, God, why can I remember all of this? The insides of the stomach were lined with teeth and faces, human faces, and they were all wailing at us and screaming. They were begging us to kill them, and I almost lost it there. I started opening up with my gun, started shooting them in the heads, and if I'd stayed, my suit would have melted and I'd be dead. But the kid grabbed me and shoved me head first through the sphincter, and we fell into the other place. It was even worse than the stomach. That one was lined with faces and filled with acid. This place was, well, you know what it was full of. I'm not squeamish, Bill. You can't be a mole rat if you are. But this place, it squicked me out so bad, I almost passed out. The kid helped me back up to my feet, though, told me we were almost out. Said, come on, Lieutenant, we're almost out of here. Let's go, he said. We moved over to the other sphincter, but the thing was, well, I was buckled up tighter than my drill sergeant's asshole back in the basic. So no way we were getting out of there. We decided to wait for a bit until the thing shot its load, so to speak. If it made shit and come, it would have to spit it out eventually, right? Anyway, that's when things started to get real bad. The kid started complaining about this awful smell. I tried to stay calm, told him it was probably his suit's waste recyclers. Told him to let me take a look at it. Yeah. There was a hole in the back of his leg, probably from all the acid. I put a patch on it and told him not to worry about it, and then that's when I noticed that there were these red things growing all over his face, and he started screaming when the first of them burst and splattered blood all over the inside of his faceplate. And they started begging me to kill him. I put my gun up to his face, and I pulled the trigger, and it just clicked. I'd burned all my ammo trying to shoot those damn faces. The tentacle burst out of its face a moment after, and it grabbed me, and it started licking me, Bill. The thing was running its tongue all over my face and my body over the suit. It grabbed me and pushed me down and tried to hump my suit like a dog, but it couldn't get through. I managed to wrestle the thing that had once been that poor kid back through the sphincter into the stomach. Its tentacles writhed at me as it started to melt. And he smiled. He told me he loved me before he died, and I screamed. And then 835 blew its load and I flew out its ass into the ocean. And you know the rest of the story, Bill. Except one thing. My suit didn't make it intact. It was breached. No one else noticed. I didn't even notice until I was in my room changing clothes and saw the red blotches all over my skin, so... yeah. Guess I'm fucked. I've got the room on lockdown right now, but... you've got to get everyone else out before I go terminal. So... yeah. Fill out the rest of the report and the logs for me, will ya? Oh, and, be sure to edit it so that the motherfuckers in command don't yell at me for being unprofessional on my AARs again. I'm gonna finish off my drink and take a couple Valium and go to bed. Don't bother trying to decontaminate the vessel. Just abandon the entire ship and scuttle it on top of the original site. I think the kid would have liked it that way. Now we can be together. Just like he always wanted. Thanks.